to him
and never to stray,
and never to stray, yes, singing his praises all day long. I'm going that way. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people, and if we're going to go that way, we have to prepare ourselves right now. Eternal life is a quality of life that we get here that leads to one day with God there. So if we're going to go that way, right now is the time to get ready. Don't worry, that day never ends. That's what we call eternity. So prepare yourselves. We're thankful to God that's blessed us, that so many have come out tonight to be a part of this great worship. Our prayer was worded number one. I was going to give them numbers, one, two, and three. But Brother Vernon Lewis, number one, we're certainly mindful of those who are on the road, who are on their way to come and to meet with us here from the ladies' retreat. So please, please, as he said, keep them in your prayers that they might arrive safely. I want to be appreciative to those here who have kept my wife and myself, the Glovers and the Sanchez's in your prayers as we were traveling on last week. And the Lord blessed us to be able to go and come again. And I just want to share a few thoughts with you tonight, if I can. And it just takes me back to Luke, the 14th chapter, of course, when Jesus told through the example that he was given to tell his disciples to go back out off into the world, to compel them to come in, that his house might be filled. So the bottom line of that message is there is work to do. There is much to do. We got a whole bunch of work that needs to be done to bring men and women to a right understanding, a right relationship with God. The lesson text that was read comes from Acts chapter 17, and the verse is number 22. Acts chapter 17 and verse number 22, and we'll ask that you meet with us there, and we'll reread that verse for emphasis' sake. Acts chapter 17 and verse number 22, the Bible says, "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, 'Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious.'" The King James translation reads. And of course, in the NIV, it reads that you are very religious, very religious. And Paul, of course, was preaching because he had been out in Athens in Greece, and he saw all of the temples that were dedicated to the pagan gods, and he found a temple that was dedicated to the unknown God. And Paul was going to take that opportunity to preach to them the God that they didn't know. We had a wonderful opportunity to visit the city of Rome, and we had a wonderful opportunity to go around and look and to get a bunch of the history. It was a very rewarding experience from a historical standpoint of all of the things that you see there. And when you walk around, and we went to the Basilica of St. Peter, and in the Basilica of St. Peter, they are gladly tell you that this is the largest church building in the entire world. There is no place bigger than right here. And they'll point to the altar, and up under the altar, they'll tell you that there was a man who was one of the apostles of Jesus Christ, and he didn't find it worthy to be crucified the same way that Jesus was crucified, and that he was crucified upside down. And they say that St. Peter is buried under the altar there in that church in Rome. And folk are saying that over 100,000 people come through that facility on a daily basis between this time of the year all the way through December, over 100,000 visitors. And I'm looking around at all this stuff and I'm saying, Lord, have mercy. The mother of the Church of Rome, St. Peter's Basilica, and they make Peter the first pope. And I said, that's not anywhere in the Bible. Peter was never called Pope Peter in the Bible. You won't find it anywhere. If you read it from Genesis to Revelation, he is not the first pope, and the tour guide was touring us, and we just kind of interjected a little things here and there and everything, and we believe that some people were edified. And of course, there are always other people who want you to just shut up and be quiet. Always the case. And then we went to Vatican City. And Vatican City, it's an amazing facility. And all over this place, they have statues and they have all of these fountains that are all over the place. And they'll give you the history of all this stuff. And when we went to Vatican City, there was a red flag that was hanging outside of the window. And that red flag meant that the Pope was going to appear and he was going to preach standing right there, the window. And we looked at the assembly that was there and people were standing up and it was hot. No air conditioning. About 20,000 people standing in the plaza. And when the Pope stood up in the window, people started applauding and clapping like they were seeing God. And somebody ought to say something. Amen. Lord, have mercy. And they applauded, and he spoke for about 15 minutes. And he made them happy, I guess, when he stood up, and happy when he sat down because they clapped again. I guess the 15 minutes is the limit, brother. But when you go back and you see all of these things, it just reminds me of what Paul saw when he was out on Mars Hill, that there are religious people all over the world. And people come and they look at these things and they don't have a good understanding of what thus saith the Lord. Amen. And our job, our responsibility as members of the family of God is to tell folk what thus saith the Lord. Can the church say amen?
Amen.
Our responsibility is to show them you're very religious, but you're pointed in the wrong direction.
Yes.
They have these statues made up of Hercules, and they got a statue of Poseidon and Zeus and Athena and any other god or goddesses that you want to find. It seems like they're there. They have the obelisks that were part of the ancient African empire in Egypt. And they've taken some of those obelisks and they brought them and they set them up there in Rome. They've gone and taken stuff from other folks and they set up all of these things. But when you look all over the place, you see that these people are so very religious. It's shocking and it's amazing. And like Paul, when you look at all of this stuff, it should do something to us on the inside. The Bible says in Acts chapter 17 and verse number 16 that Apostle Paul, now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw that the whole city, the city was wholly given to idolatry. And some folk look about and they go like, oh, those are just statues. They don't mean anything. All of those things come with a religious significance that is associated with them. And God has taught his people, even under the old law, all about idols and idolatry. You are very religious, but you don't know God. Amen. The way that you ought to know God. You don't know the church the way that you ought to know the church. And we have a mission that God has sent us out into all the world that folk might know the good news of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. If we don't do it, who's going to do it? If the church doesn't do it, brother, who's going to do it? What I'm saying to all of us is that we've got more work to do than we can possibly imagine, because there are folk that are so religious out there, but they are wrong. They are not saved. They are not a part of the body of Christ. We went to one restaurant and we were sitting there and we're eating our dinner at the restaurant. And before we started to eat our dinner, thank God, we still gave thanks.
Amen.
And there was a family that was sitting over on the side of us. And when they saw us bow our heads and give thanks to the great God of heaven for the blessing that he blessed us with, even though we'd eaten pasta every day, somebody ought to be saying, well, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. I was reminded of the children of Israel when that bread of the angel food was falling down out of heaven. God gave them bread from heaven. Yes. And folks start complaining, we tired of this angel food. Boy, Lord, have mercy. Oh, that's not my lesson. Let me get back to it. But the point here is, they heard us praying And they said amen when we said amen. You look over and you start talking to these folks over there, find out what they're doing, where they're from, and they're over there. There were several groups that were missionary groups that were over there. And they were out trying to take their message to a world over there that's already lost in Catholicism. And brothers, listen, sisters, listen, the whole city given to idolatry. We ought to be stirred, religious but lost. Somebody's got to tell them the truth.
Amen.
Who's going to do it? Don't tell nobody the truth when you're on vacation, huh? Lord, have mercy. God has a great teaching in the old law about idols. And listen, the Bible tells us in Paul's letter to the church at Rome that the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. Is that not right? Yeah. That we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have folks say, well, it's just statues. It doesn't mean anything. They got them in a house that they say is dedicated to the name of God. That is wrong.
Amen.
In Exodus, the 20th chapter, in verse number 7, the Bible says, this is the one that we quote a lot of times when we do stuff that the Bible is contradicting. There's another lesson. The Bible says, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me. And we say that we ain't got no idols that we're bound down to. We don't praise no trees. We don't pray. We don't bow down to all that. Yeah, yeah. But listen, that is verse number 5. We need to back it up to verse number 4. And in Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 4, and I know God is talking here to the children of Israel under the old law, brother. But listen, sister, listen, there's a great application for us today. Don't get caught up in all of this idolatry. The Bible says, thou shalt not make unto thee. We don't worry about bowing down. Don't even make it.
Amen.
Don't make it. If you don't make it, you can't bow down to it. And they are everywhere you go. They're in the hotel. They're in the restaurant. They're in the palace. They're in the churches. All over the place. They're in the plazas. And everybody is talking about how wonderful and how great it is. And yes, it was wonderful and great that God blessed us. There's great history over there. They'll tell you that some of these things that they've got built up in these buildings go back even before Christ. But you know what Jesus said? When they were showing him that great temple that they were building, they were restoring under the Romans. He says, you know what? He says, look. In John's gospel, he says, there won't be one stone left up on another.
Amen.
All of this stuff and every plant that our Father has not been planted is going to be broken and torn down. Jesus says all of it's going to come down.
Yes.
Don't make them and you can't bow down to them. He says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything. Is that what your Bible says? Of anything where that is in heaven above, it didn't stop there, or that is in earth beneath, or in the water under the earth. They even got the statue of the turtle. And you know how the Egyptians used to worship the turtles, and they worship the crickets, and they worship all of those deities that were destroyed when the children of Israel brought out of Egyptian bondage. Those represented deities that were being destroyed by God. Beautiful, wonderful architecture, beautiful religious people, but somebody got to tell the truth.
Amen.
Somebody's got to bring folk back to an understanding of the Word of God. And I like what Apostle Paul did when he was in Athens in Greece. He didn't come out attacking the folk. He came out and told them, you know, I found something here that y'all are very religious. But then he went around and he kept looking and he said, you know what? You got a temple out here that's to the unknown God. And that unknown God, the one that you worship ignorantly, that's the one I want to tell you about. Can we tell people about the God that we're to worship? Can we tell people about how they ought to worship? I got into a discussion. My wife and I couldn't come to an agreement on it. I think she said, my wife says that she was a Jehovah's Witness, and I said she was a Seventh-day Adventist, and then I said, no, she was a Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and we had a beautiful discussion right there on the bridge, and I said, you know what? There's some water right down here. I can go and baptize you right now.
Amen.
And she said, I already been baptized. Well, I said, yeah, but there's but one church in the Bible, and you didn't make it. And it wasn't offensive. She was thankful. I'm just saying, listen, brothers, listen, we're not trying to hurt anybody. We're trying to save somebody.
Come on now, preach up.
And somebody's got to tell the truth.
Yes, preach up.
The Bible says in Acts chapter 17, go to Acts chapter 17, and let's pick up at verse number 24. The God that you don't know. We need to tell folk about the God that they don't know. We need to tell folk about the church that Jesus built that they don't know about. We need to share with them the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is our responsibility, brother. Listen, if the church doesn't do it, who's going to do it? In Acts chapter 17 and verse number 24, let me get over here. The Bible reminds us, very important. It says, Acts 17 and verse number 24. Wait a minute, my Bible just rebooted. I'm going to get over here. The Bible says, God that made the world and how many things? All things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Is that in your Bible? Did you get it?
Yes.
Brother, listen, sometimes we get all caught up in the facility.
Yes.
We get caught up in what it does and it doesn't have.
Amen.
Does it have comfortable cushioned seats? Does it have air conditioning? Does it have the architecture that people come in and be wall and amazed about? When we were entering into the temple or the Basilica of St. Peter, there were folk that were literally kissing the doors as they were walking into that basilica. There were folk that were kissing the pews that were sitting around there. And I'm thinking, Lord, have mercy. Does not anybody understand? This building is not holy.
Amen.
And listen. This is where the church meets here. We have a beautiful facility by the grace of the great God of heaven. But this building is not holy. God is holy.
Yes.
And we need to teach people. Don't worry and fall in love with the ark. You know, some folk won't go to a building if it don't have air conditioning.
Yes.
Yeah. Amen. You let the air go out in here.
Yeah.
Hey, we ain't going to be able to fix it until after September. You know, the August heat. I think some folk will be, let's keep it. But what I'm saying is that there are some folk, 20,000 of them standing out there in the heat, and you had folk from Texas talking about, ooh, it's hot out here. But those folks stood, didn't even have a place to sit down to hear a man that folk say is God. Something is wrong with that. And we've got to be the ones, the ambassadors for Christ, to take the word out into all the world. Share the good news of Jesus Christ. God is not worshiped. God does not dwell, rather, in temples that are made with hands. In verse number 25, neither is worshiped with men's hands as though he needed anything. God's not worshiped with men's hands. It's not by the work that we're able to do. It's not about the stuff we're able to steal from other countries and put up there and say, look how old this stuff is. We worship God by being obedient to the good news of Jesus Christ, being added to the family of God, and blowing a kiss of thanksgiving to the great God of heaven. And God has given us a job to do, brethren, and our job is to take the gospel into all the world. And brother, listen, I know we got folk right across the street. Absolutely, we got to take it across the street before we worry about going in all the world. But I'm telling you, as we go, somebody ought to say something about Jesus. Somebody ought to teach somebody something about the church that is in the Bible. It doesn't matter if you can put 60,000 people in your church if the church ain't in the body of Christ. Does that make sense?
Amen.
It doesn't matter how many statues and how many popes, if you call them popes, are buried in your facility. If it's not the church, listen, it's still not right in the eyes of God. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. God doesn't need anything from us. We need to be obedient to the word of God. I'm going to drop down here to Acts 17 and verse number 30. The Bible says, and the times of this ignorance God winked at. There was one, you know, God overlooked this foolishness at one point. But the Bible says, now commandeth who? All men where? All men everywhere. God commands all men everywhere to repent. And brother, listen, our job is to call men and women, is to call boys and girls from the darkness into the marvelous light of God's dear Son. There are very religious people out there, and maybe we can just tweak some adjustments so people can see the church that is in the Bible, and somebody would be obedient to the word of God. But whether they do it or not, the job is still ours. It's our responsibility. And I'm saying, listen, brother, as I walk around and beheld their devotions, I can see that they are very religious, but they are also very lost. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 4, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Every pope that they ever buried there, and even ones that ain't pope that they're calling pope that they buried there, they're still dead. They still are not able to help anybody. The man that they call the Holy Father in the window, and people stand up and applaud just when he shows up in the window, he still ain't the Holy Father that we read about in the Bible. It doesn't matter how old the buildings are over there or that they have history from the first century church that is represented in there, they are still not the church that is in the Bible. The Son of God, he's declared to be the Son of God according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. We need to preach and teach them Jesus. Bring them into the body of Christ. And Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If they believe that Jesus is the Christ, if they're willing to confess Jesus as Christ. Luke 13:3, I tell you, nay, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. While we were over there, the only television that you could get while you were in a room was CNN, and it wasn't nothing but bad news. Folk killed over here, folk killed over there, and folk killed over there, and watch out, they might be coming over here. We don't know where they are. You know what? People are dying every day. It doesn't matter whether it was a terrorist attack or you had a heart attack. What I'm saying to you is that we all going to leave here, and since we all going to leave here, what's important is that we get ready to go. And you don't want to go outside of Christ. Luke 13:3, repent and turn from self and sin. Turn to God. Give your body to be baptized in water for the remission of sins that adds you to the church that Jesus built. Amen. And all will be well with your soul. We've got to make sure that we get the message of the gospel out, because the people are very religious. All over wherever we go, people are very religious, but they're very lost.
Amen.
And if you and I don't take the message to the world, they don't have an opportunity to turn around and come to Christ.
Yes.
Sometimes as members of the family of God, we stumble, we fall, we make mistakes.
Yes.
We come back through confession, repentance, and prayer. If there are any who are subject to the invitation, we'd ask that you take this opportunity to make it known as we stand and sing the song that has been selected.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the seas heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me. Now say, am I? Because love lifted me. even me. Love lifted even me. And when